Mr. Warren Stevens, and Mr. Stevens, I must say, first of all, thanks for allowing us to come out here and cover this prestigious golf tournament at your club. And thanks from the state of Arkansas for having this, because I think it is a very prestigious tournament, and we need more events like this in the state of Arkansas.
Well, thanks, Trey. I appreciate it very much. We're delighted to have y'all here and appreciate y'all coming out and broadcasting from the club during the tournament. It's an honor for us to have the Western Amateur, and you know, we've got some of the best amateur golfers in the world are here, and it's a treat for me to get to watch them play and how they're going to play this golf course. So I'm looking forward to the whole week.
A couple of years ago, when you had this idea of this golf course, mm-hmm. and building it and buying the land and everything, did you ever think, okay, now let's have a prestigious golf tournament like this out here? I know you've had the Jack
Stevens
right. events with Tiger and Mr. Palmer and Mr. Nicklaus and Phil
right.
come in, but this type of tournament?
No, we didn't really build a golf course or the club with tournaments in mind, and logistically they present a lot of problems for us, because we're just not equipped, even for an event like the Western Amateur, which is nothing in comparison to a major tournament or a tour event in terms of parking and all the infrastructure you need. But the chance to host the Western and to be the first club in 41 years outside of Chicago or Michigan to host it was something we just couldn't pass up. But the club was, the golf course and the clubhouse and the whole setting really turned out better than I even hoped that it would. So, and I had high hopes for it, but it turned out pretty well.
Yeah, and that's what leads me to my question, is about the Western Am being in Chicago a lot. What did it take for y'all to get this down here? You know, how long did it take? Just all the hours you had to put in, and when did you know that the Western Am would be here?
Well, they approached us. We got to know the Western Golf Association through their Evans Scholarship programs, and I'm becoming one of their biggest fans and cheerleaders. They don't do a good job of telling the world what they do through the Evans
right.
Scholarship. They give away $11 million a year to young people, boys and girls, to go to college that are caddies. And we're the only caddy program in the state of Arkansas. And they're looking for qualified candidates to win these Evans Scholarships. And they came down, and we've been fortunate to have three boys, although girls are eligible for this too, for these scholarships too. We've had three boys who happen to be brothers, who happen to have the last name of Evans.
I saw that.
All become Evans scholars and are in college now. And really just through that, they had already made the decision to go back to moving the Western Amateur around. The Western Am used to move around.
Right.
And I don't know why they made the decision to not do that, but I'm glad they made the decision to start moving it around, and we're honored to have it. It was really just a process. I mean, the main thing we talked to them about was, are you sure you want to have this in Little Rock in July and August? Because of the potential for the heat. And they said, oh no, that's fine, we'll be fine. Well, I think this time last year during the Western Amateur, the high in Little Rock was 111 degrees, and we're fortunate that we're not going to get anywhere near those kinds of temps.
And I know Trey had said something about that, because you brought up that point that y'all allowed them to wear shorts out here, because I believe in Chicago, is it just pants only?
Or something?
And Trey had said something about, when is that kind of the reason to allow them to wear shorts? Safety first, right?
Absolutely. Safety, but also comfort, and that was the Western's call. But the Western Golf Association's call, but we strongly encourage them to allow that, and they did.
And then the weather this week, I mean, you couldn't have asked for better weather.
Could not. We need it. I think it's up to a 40% chance of rain tomorrow, and we need to get through Tuesday and Wednesday, because we have so many players both days, 156. So if we can get through those days without much rain delay, that'll be great, and then we're pretty much home free.
I got a serious question now. All right,
so here we go.
I see the names,
and so it was cool, and we found out about 11. But Trey and I play Tiger Woods golf, and it took a while for Augusta to get on there. Will there ever be a lotion on Tiger Woods golf where everybody can go and play? I mean, how cool would that be?
You know, I have no idea. I haven't even thought about that. I guess if they wanted to put us on that, we would probably seriously consider that.
Oh, there we go. There it is. That's as serious as I get right there.
Well, there's a lot of great golf courses on there. So, you know, if they wanted to put us on there, I think that'd be awesome.
Would it not be awesome?
Matt Jones coming with the Tiger Woods golf course is the EA Sports. I like that, though.
That would be awesome.
It would be neat. It'd be the only course in Arkansas on there. Yeah. And that kind of leads me into my next question, Mr. Stevens, the fact that this club has been it's been out here for the time that it's been out here, but so many people have not been able to see it.
Yeah.
And this is their first time to actually have that chance to come out here and see it. If there's someone that's thinking, okay, do I really want to go or do I not, what would you say would be probably the piece of advice that could get them off the fence to say, okay, I'm going?
Well, I think it's and I'm certainly biased in this, but I'll back it up in a second. It's one of the most beautiful golf courses in the United States, and Golf Digest chose it as the seventh most beautiful golf course, behind Augusta National and five other clubs, all on a major body of water. So that's first of all, even if you're not a golf fan, but if you're even a casual golf fan, the level of golf out here this week is something to behold. I watched, and I'm going to mispronounce this boy's name. He plays golf at Arkansas. Sebastian
Capilan.
What is it?
Capilan.
Capilan. I watched him on the driving range today, and being an 11 handicap or so, was pretty envious of his swing. But, gosh, Lee, these young men just have such great swings and hit it so far. And then they have great touch around the greens. The level of golf, I mean, it is outstanding. And all you have to do, and there's no guarantee that the Western Am winner this year will go on to some great pro career, but if you're in the Sweet 16 of the Western Am, there's a pretty good chance you're going to be able to make a good living on the tour. I think the stats are that throughout the history of the tournament, the Sweet 16 finalists at the Western Am have won 73 major golf tournaments.
Really?
Oh, my
so
gosh.
That's wild.
It is. And, I mean, when you look on the list and you see winners like Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods and Justin Leonard twice and Jack Nicklaus, Tom Weisskopf.
Hal Sutton, yeah.
Yeah, Hal Sutton.
And they go on and on when you start looking at them.
And then you start looking at just who was in the Sweet 16. Again, it's the same kind of thing. We've got actually two former winners here this week. Lanny Watkins won in 1971, the last time the Western Am was not held in Chicago or Michigan. And he's here with his son and Steve Melnick, who I don't remember the year Steve won the Western Am, but he's here as well. So we're honored to have both of them.
I think Trey might ask you this a couple months ago or whenever we had him on. I think it was just you. But what do you think to make that first cut? Did they say plus four?
That was during the media event.
What do you think it would be as far as, and I know we don't know, but what do you think, you know, if you're making that first cut, what do you think they have to shoot?
You know, I don't know. We think that the medal play winner after 36 holes could very easily be about 10 under, so 5 under each day.
Are you kidding me?
Well, now, he'd be the leader, and so you back up to the next 44 from there. So I would say it could be around even par or could even be one or two under par.
Wow.
And, to make the cut. We'll see, though. This golf course is really tricky, and they only have one practice round today. A lot of them probably have never played a golf course that's as hilly as this, and it's going to be tough on them to score. And our greens are, and playing out here as much as I've played out here, our greens are very, very difficult to read. So we'll see. But I'll tell you where we came up with that number. We asked Glenn Day, one of our local PGA touring professionals, what were his two best consecutive scoring days.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, he had to think about it, but he came up with 5-under and 4-under. So that's 9-under. Well, Glenn's played the course I don't know how many times, and so he knows it very well. But the other thing is we didn't have any rough when Glenn was doing that. So we'll see. It might be, it very well could be a number that's not anywhere near that. But these young men are incredibly gifted golfers, just really something to watch.
We had two local, we had Wes and Joey in, and we were talking about 18. I love how 18 is a long par four, great finishing hole, really.
Yeah, it is.
Where you're struggling to get a par sometimes to hit. I don't think either one of them hit the green.
No,
in regulation.
Joey had 267 in, Wes had 235, and he said it's a nice short par five.
Yeah, we had one of our members had a guest in, and the club had just opened, and he said to me that, he loved the golf course, loved everything about it, but he said he really thought 18 was a better par 5 than 17. and I tell you the truth, I think whenever any time I par number 4, par 18 with a 4, it feels like a birdie because it really, even from the members' tees, it's really hard.
I like 17 and 18 because birdie finish for me.
If you
is that right?
They're in the media.
Oh, that's right.
In March.
Right. Yeah, well, those are two great holes. But did you hear about the young man yesterday on 17
No.
from the back tees? He hit 3-wood, 3-iron to the green in 2.
Are you kidding me?
No, and that's a 500.
Where was the wind blowing?
I don't know, but that's a 575-yard, slightly uphill.
3-wood, 3-iron.
3-wood, 3-iron, and so that's
– And that's uphill.
It is uphill, yeah. I mean, that's the kind of thing you're seeing out here, and you just – you can't believe it because they don't really look like they're swinging very hard,
no.
And they don't look like they're not taking, John Daly long swings. They all look – kind of like Adam Scott swing.
Wow.
And they can flat kill it. The other thing I would encourage people to come out is just these are young men from all over the world. I mean, there are people from Australia and New Zealand and a few from Sweden and Denmark, and then of course the United States. And we want them to have a great experience while they're here, and to have good crowds and respectful crowds to cheer them on.
And I know that you haven't done all this by yourself. I mean, there are a host of volunteers out here.
Oh, my gosh.
There are members that are putting some of the players up in their houses. And I know you want to have time to thank those people.
Well, we have 28 different committees. I think we have 2,200 volunteer shifts.
Wow.
We have, I think, 1,500 volunteers to fill those shifts. And I say volunteers, they paid $100 to volunteer. Of course, they get a ticket and they get some other things for that. But, the membership has just done all the work. Several of our members have spent hundreds of hours on this. Harry King wrote a nice piece about Mark Scully, our member from Houston, who played golf at Rice and has been in charge of the course setup. Mark has spent 2 years literally mapping every green and getting different pin locations for different conditions. Rob Kress has worked on organizing our volunteers. And you think about that, 1,500 people, we got 6 days, we got to move them all around. That's a lot, and you mentioned the members putting up players. We've got some members hosting 3 and 4 of them at a time.
Mm-hmm.
I walked down the fairway. I didn't walk. I rode, and they were walking. I walked on number 8 just a few minutes ago with 4 young men from Australia that are staying with a member. So, that's nice that people have opened their homes, and we just want people to come out and enjoy themselves.
I know you probably can't answer this question yet because the tournament's not over with and you've got a whole week to go, but if this runs well, do you see possibly asking the Western to come back, or do you see maybe, since you are a member of Augusta National, starting a national amateur tournament that has one home and it be right here in Western Pulaski County at the Aleutian Club?
Well, I don't. The Western will want to move it around. If we do a good job this week, I suspect they'll come back and ask us to do it at another point in time. And And unless there's some compelling reason why we couldn't, I think we would be inclined to do that if all goes well and everybody's happy with the way it goes this week. I haven't given any thought to a permanent amateur event here. I think amateur golf could use something like that. I think you miss. I think one of the great strengths of the Masters is everyone knows all those holes because mm-hmm. they see them year after year after year after year, and that makes it fun. That makes it fun for people to watch, you know, to watch on television and to watch in person.
And I think
and
going,
it's on Tiger Woods.
It's on Tiger Woods.
It was my first time to go to Augusta this year in the Masters, but even just walking on that course for the first time, television and the coverage that it gets, I knew exactly where I was on that golf course. And then when you get home and you watch it year after year after year, you know, okay, that's 13, that's 15, that's 16. And I think that that is something that is so unique about that because it's the only major that is played at the same course every year.
And it's like a U2 song. You know, not if you don't even have to like U2, but if you hear the radio and you know that they're on and you don't have to hear them sing, you're like, oh, that's a U2 song.
Yeah.
You know, you just kind of you grasp it.
Well, the other thing that – and, the Masters, of course, I'm very prejudiced in my love for Augusta National and the Masters, It gets, because the tournament's held there every year, all of the infrastructure mm-hmm. for the televising of that tournament is permanent and underground. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't see any cables going around. You know, all the observation stands. You'll when they start putting these things up, they go cut out, you know, four by four squares of turf. And you look down in there, and there's a sleeve where they're going to put the base of a TV stand, and it's incredible to me the advantage that gives Augusta just in terms of the ambiance that it provides its patrons and people on television, and you know I think it would certainly be easier for us if some of these things that we had to do for this week. We were able to say, well, since we know we're going to be involved in it over some period of time, we could spend a little money that maybe we wouldn't otherwise do.
This week has to be one of the highlights in your lifetime, but I know your dad got you involved with golf. How proud do you think he would be to if he were able to be here to see this going on this week?
Well, I think he is extremely proud, and actually I'm giving him a lot of credit for the weather because I think we've had a little help on that. So I didn't say my prayers to him, but I said, oh, Dad, by the way, if you're around and you can add a little influence to this, we sure could use a break.
A cloud or two.
And you know, not being 110 or 111 degrees as we try to host this tournament.
And if anybody WDs between now and tomorrow morning, my golf clubs are not far away.
Well, actually, we've got a long list of people that would love to get in. In fact, I knew
that list would be too long.
I don't think you'll quite make it, but you never know.
No, I'm not even bringing my clubs.
Right in ballot.
They're in the garage.
There's no right in, Matt.
I do want to ask you about the Arkansas players. Is there five Arkansas players?
Six, I believe. Five?
Not even just from the university, but
from the state.
From the state. That's pretty cool right there.
Oh, it's great. And we've certainly hope all of our contestants play well.
Right.
But, you know, we hope our young men from Arkansas have a great week, and it'd be great if one or two or all of them were in contention.
Make the first cut or something. Yeah.
No. Cool. I think that would be terrific. And we're delighted to give them the opportunity. Some of them, most of them have played here before, so they have a little bit of an advantage. And it's a pretty darn big advantage. Anytime, you know, y'all know this. I mean, anytime you know a golf course or, you know, how many times have you played a course and then say, you know, if I played it again, I wouldn't hit that shot I just mm-hmm. hit. You know, I'd hit it a different way. And it's a big advantage, I think.
Yeah, I think most people, when you play your home course, you're three or four shots better from when you go play somewhere else. And looking at that, I believe it was 74-80 par 72 is what it had in the book. Are you going to change the tee boxes up a little bit? Because you were saying, and I didn't know this, Trey, that you went, y'all spent hours on seeing where the pin position is going to be based on the weather.
Yeah.
So is that the same thing kind of with the tee box too, where you can move those a little bit also?
Yeah, absolutely. We were talking about 18 earlier, and at one time the forecast was for either west-northwest winds. Well, that would make 18 play downhill. You know, then you could even go back to our furthest back tee, and it's 500 yards, but playing downwind.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think that's going to materialize,
right.
So we don't think that tee will ever be in play. But, yeah, we'll move the tees around.
See, I didn't know all that, you know, that it goes into with the tee box. I knew the pin location, but with the tee box, too, that's awesome. Cool.
Course setup. It should be fun. Mr. Stevens, thanks for having us, and thanks for joining us.
No, thanks.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Really appreciate it.